There's a lot of echo in this mic.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In case you are wondering why that song was taken again, said, today is not Christmas now. So why are they singing it again? Well, because I made a special request. That was why. And anyway, last week wasn't Christmas either. So if it was sung before Christmas, it could be sung after Christmas. Hallelujah. The whole essence of Christmas is the fact that salvation has come to mankind. Of course, that essence has been lost in the world now. Everybody does Christmas. Christmas is a time of fun, a time to, you know, see friends, have fun, go to Father Christmas, give gifts and things like that. Now, that is good, but the real essence, which is salvation, has been lost. When an unbeliever is celebrating Christmas, then you know that something is wrong. It is celebrated all over the world. But the essence is what is captured by that song. It says, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth that child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hallelujah. Which means God with us. The question is this: hadn't God been with them before then? The Spirit of God had always been with mankind. The Spirit of God was there before man was made. You know, since the Spirit of God was moving over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And the Spirit of God had dealt with mankind up till now. So the question we're asking is, what does Emmanuel really mean? If God had always been with man, God had always, well, he, even when the Spirit of God was not in man, he was with man. Hallelujah. He was with the prophets, he was with Israel. Even before the prophets and the Lord came, he was with man. And he said, the time came when he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm going to, you know, cut off his days and all that. We need to understand Emmanuel in the concept of the incarnation of God in mankind. Hallelujah. That child that was born is called Emmanuel, or was called Emmanuel, because he represented God being present in human form. Hallelujah. So that baby, or that babe, that, like, as you know, we used to say, that babe in the manger, actually depicted the presence of God in man, the presence of God in a vessel called man. Hallelujah. That is the whole idea when he says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. It is the word dwelling amongst mankind that is called Emmanuel. Hallelujah. And you need to understand what that implies. When people celebrate Christmas and they forget the fact that it was about God becoming man. Now, if somebody told you that God became man, then you should ask, why? For what purpose? Okay? The whole essence of Christianity is about God becoming mankind. Hallelujah. So that, like we used to say, that so that man can become like God. Hallelujah. Like we used to say. Well, we used to say that man may become God, really, but I've tried to modify it so that it doesn't sound as extremist as it used to sound, you know. Jesus Christ represented, or represents, the amalgamation. Hallelujah. That one should ring a bell. You know what it means, amalgamation. You know what an amalgam is? When you mix two metals or two elements together in one. the amalgamation of Nigeria will be 100 years next year. And there are rumors that that amalgam called Nigeria may break up, hallelujah, because the blending wasn't so well done. There is still the sharp divide between tribe, ethnicity, religion, and language, whether you like it or not. So that amalgam is not the kind I'm talking about, hallelujah. The kind of amalgam I'm talking about is the perfect one shown in Christ Jesus when he says there is one God, 1 Timothy 2:5, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Look at that statement. For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Just before that, Paul had said something. He said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh. So you are looking at someone who qualifies as God and who also qualifies as man at the same time. That is a wonderful amalgam. It's a mystery, but that is the truth. And if you know that that is the essence of Christmas, that God actually, you see, when he was coming to the world, in case you don't know, that baby in the manger existed before he was born. That baby in the manger, that gentle baby that, you know, how do we sing it? Gentle Christ, the late gentle Christ. Not as gentle as you think anyway, because he had always been, hallelujah. Okay, that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, sleep in mother and child. Some of those songs that we sing. Yeah, they saw your mother and child there too. Mother and child. You see, that child. So tender and mild. See? Good. What I'm trying to say is this. That tender child, mild, innocent, existed before the world was made. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Now, that's a double affirmative. See, all things were made by him. In case you didn't get that. Now, said, without him was not anything made that was made. Because it becomes awesome to comprehend that that child was actually the maker of heaven and earth. So you begin to question and ask, why would he come, like that? Why will he come as a man? Why will he come as a child? The reason being that he is meant to die for the sin of man. Hallelujah. And that introduces him to the next chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Because many times we like to separate the issue of resurrection. We say, hey, well, Christmas is good. It's a lovely time. We are waiting for Easter. Easter is in April. But in the mind of God, Christmas and Easter are one. We should be singing these songs also during Easter. Because we now understand that, see, all the angels singing, they were singing about what? Salvation. Why the fixation on the tender child that was born? No need to be fixated on that. He was born because of the salvation that has come to mankind. That is why he says his name shall be called Jesus, because he is going to save his people from their sins. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul had addressed up to this point all sorts of questions and controversies among the Corinthians. Issues of food offered to idols, issues of head covering, issues of spiritual manifestations, issues of marriage. And we've gone through all that. How many people remember that we have gone through all that? In 1 Corinthians 15, it begins to address, is about to start addressing another issue, which in my own view is more fundamental than all the issues he had addressed. It's much more fundamental. Because many times we don't even know when something is actually touching on the very foundations of what we claim to believe, on the very foundation of who we claim to be. Look at verse 12. Sorry, I'm jumping, but I have to just start from there. But this morning, I'm going to introduce this topic, and hopefully, if the pastors allow me, I'll be able to complete this book sometime in 2014. Look at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? This was the last issue Paul addressed with the Corinthians. Some amongst them are preaching or were saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. Notice that they were not saying that Christ did not rise from the dead. They just said that there is no resurrection from the dead. There is nothing like that. Whether they meant that the only person that could have been raised from the dead was Christ, because there was this belief that all matter was evil. So if you talk about body, you are talking of something that is evil by nature. So they said there is nothing like resurrection, because that body has to be evil anyway, because matter, something you can handle, has to be evil. That was, you know, a teaching. So they said that when we die, we exist in the realms of the spirit. God is a spirit after all, and all that and all that. So they said that there is nothing like resurrection from the dead. And Paul started telling them what the implications of that kind of thinking will be. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. I would have thought that Paul should have started this book with this, but somehow he left it till the last. For I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, and by the 12. Now, notice that when he says the 12, he wasn't talking about 12 people. Hallelujah. Hope you know that. He wasn't talking about 12 people. He was talking about 11 people, because one of them had died, Judas. So when he said he was seen by the 12, the 12 was the name of the band, Hallelujah. Plantation Boys. Just an example. Just because one has left doesn't change that name, Plantation Boys. Do you understand? The 12, that was the caption those guys were known as. Do you understand? So, was seen by the 12, which by this time had become 11. But they didn't bother to start calling them the 11 because they were known as the 12. Hallelujah. No, I took my time to say that because you don't understand. If you understand the kind of attack that is ongoing, the onslaught that even Christians are inflicting upon the Bible. So once you dismantle scriptures it says heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot. Once you can disqualify as untrue a verse of the Bible, there is no point. Your faith is gone. What are you standing? Many of you take with levity some statements some people make. Now people are trying to reconcile scriptures with so-called science. Somebody says we came from matter. We came from, you know, we evolved. I'm sure many of you are looking at it and say, we know what you've been doing on Facebook. Well, yeah, it was a choice I took, and I discussed with some of my colleagues, I'm going to take on this guy and show him that, see, you don't know as you think you know. Evolution is not scientific. There's no science in it. Let me tell you what science is. Science is something that you can observe and repeat. You can experiment with. For example, you can prove that oxygen supports combustion. It has been shown by candle experiments that if you light a candle and you deprive that light of oxygen, the light will go out. It has been shown, it remains true no matter under any circumstance. If you do it in 10 years' time, if you do it, you did it 100 years ago, you find the same result. Now, when you tell me that we all came from ape-like creatures, and I'm saying, well, if you say that is science, I want to be able to observe it, and you know, some of your claims, I want to be able to let's see where you got your inference from. And you tell me spurious and things that what you are telling me is by faith as well. It takes more faith to believe that we came from ape-like creatures than to believe that somebody made us. You see the earth, you see the way everything is organized. But evolution are telling us, it's not organized. It only appears to be organized. Yeah. Nothing times nothing times time equals everything. And you want me that God gave a brain to believe that. When David said, a fool said in his heart, there is no God. We think David said that as a religious statement. There have been atheists before David was born. Whether there was a God or not had been contested before now. People think it was science that's now trying to challenge. It's not science. Philosophy had always existed and had always tested and, you know, contended that maybe there is no God. And experiments have been done countlessly to show that, okay, where did life come from? The life must have come from dead matter. And they've done experiments after experiment to show how life could have come from dead matter, and it has shown that life can only come from life. When you clone a human being, which has not been done, it cannot be done because you need a human being to clone a human being anyway. But people have few signs as proven. Let me see the proof. You say, look at this. I put that did very well. It is still not adding up. Now, people are trying to reconcile science, so-called, with the story in Genesis. That maybe God did not create the earth in 6 days. Because for the earth, for the heaven and the earth, for the galaxy. Now, I hope you know that what we call the galaxy is a vast entity. The cosmos, the sun that you see, is one of the smallest of the suns. Of billions, when I say billions, hundreds of billions of stars that are scattered, and the earth is just one tiny portion. So Steven Seagal said that when he was going to die, he said, are you going to change your mind about whether there's a God or not? Sorry. Not Steven Seagal. Carl Sagal. Hey, well, it sounds alike. Steven Seagal is the actor, you know. He was on his sickbed and they said, are you going to change your mind about whether there's a God or not? He said, change my mind about what? He said, we are living in just one tiny portion of the edge of a vast galaxy. That we know what exists in other places, that who cares about us? And he died like that. Somebody is saying that the galaxy we see had existed for about 15 billion years. And the earth that happens to be just, you know, at a safe distance from the sun. If the earth was a few distance away from the sun, it would have been impossible for life to be on earth, for us to dwell on this earth. To have been too close to the sun, to have been too hot. It was just at the right time, and suddenly, just there was a big bang, and everything started organizing themselves and life sprung forth and all that over billions and billions of years, they needed to add time. Now, you need to be able to, you see, if you want to pull a wool over somebody's eyes or do wool, just create time. Because the more time passes, then the more you can say, and we are not sure exactly how it happened, but it must have happened. Now, let me tell you something. What do you think is the question? The one naira coin. I know we don't spend it again. It's extinct. Okay. Like the dinosaurs that lived allegedly 60 million years ago. And when the footprints, now dinosaurs existed, true. They've been found, their bones, their remains have been found. Now when you see the remains, say this remain is in the rock layer that shows that it was 60 million years ago. Now look in the rock layer and you now see footprints of human beings which evolved 1,000 years ago. They say, no, somebody planted it there. That is not science. Science means you follow the evidence. This evidence contradicts my notion, so I must change my notion, not change the evidence. Now, back to our illustration. You hold 10 1 naira coins, 10 of them. How many of you believe that if you toss them in the air, you keep trying it over and over again? If you toss them in the air long enough, each coin will stand and not fall. How many people you believe so? That given enough time, if you keep tossing 10 coins over and over again, all of them, not one out of 10, will stand. No head, no tail, will stand. How many people believe that given enough time is going to happen? Now, reasonable human beings don't think so. Because the probability is near zero. Now, for you to believe that given enough time, anything could have happened, means that you believe not just that if you toss those coins for long enough, they will all stand. It means you're also believing that they will stand on top of each other, given enough time. That is what you need to believe, that we came from dead matter. And people believe it. They said it's true, given enough time. Now, that has to be faith. Your faith is bigger than mine. Because I believe that somebody arranged those coins on top of each other, and the person must be skillful. Because he must be skillful, extremely. He must be extremely skillful. Like, you see a domino. You know what a domino is? That thing you tilt and it keeps cascading. If one falls, every other thing falls. How many people believe that by random arrangements, a domino can just arrange itself like that? It doesn't happen. Now, things that all happen in nature, we've not observed. Somebody believed that it happened 15 billion years ago. On what basis? When David says, a fool says there is no God, you know what he's talking about. Now, if God did not make the earth as described, you see, we must allow it to fit into science, because science has shown that the earth is... Now, people say these things without proof. Without looking at the evidence that has been presented, and many of us are intimidated. You say, yeah, once they say something, well, maybe it's probably true. So maybe it's true. Many of them don't even look at the evidence. Look at the evidence closely. Science is not showing that the earth is billions of years old. Science is showing that the earth is much, much younger. Hallelujah. Because when you see the fossils, when you see fossils, sorry, I'm saying all this because it's not just a dispute about science, it's a dispute about, see, when you dispute for the origins, you are disputing for Christianity. Once you can prove that Genesis chapters 1 to 3 is a myth, there's no point in talking about 1 Corinthians 15. It's not a myth. But we gloss over that as though it's nothing. It could be. If God did not create the earth in 6 days, why should we believe that Christ rose from the dead? Maybe it was just it was just symbolic. And if Christ did not rise from dead, let us go home. Let us go home. We have no business gathering together. We have no, because if he's dead, he's dead. If he's dead, he's not risen again. Hallelujah. The fossil records. These are dead animals that have been replaced by rocks. When you bury something, when something dies, and you bury it, it decays, disintegrates. The fossils that they dig out and say, this animal was there many years ago, they were formed because of the way they were buried. They were buried rapidly. If you bury something rapidly, it will not decay, because silt and mud will form over it quickly and it's going to harden. That's what happens. That's why it is not everything that is buried that is fossilized. Fossils are as a result of rapid burial. The only explanation is the flood. Evolutionists say that it means that the animals lived in that rock layer. The truth is that they didn't live there. They were buried there. They were transported en masse and buried. Many of them were found in positions that show that they were rapidly killed. Many of the fish fossils were found swallowing another fish. That's not like someone that says, let me die and then let me eat before I die. It was killed rapidly and very rapidly. And you know, it's in line with the story of the flood. And when we find ourselves in danger to say that there was a flood, then we are actually saying that maybe the Bible is not true. And when you are doubting the fact that God made the earth in 6 days, you are doubting the fact that, you know, God created man, you are doubting the fact that there was actually a flood, a worldwide, look at the Grand Canyon in the US. I've not seen it physically, but there are pictures of it. It's a massive place in the US, a gully that is about 200 kilometers. You are looking at a gully of up to like here to, not Ibadan now, to Oshogbo. Gully, deep and wide, like 3 kilometers wide, just on and on like that. And they said it happened with sharp edges that show that it must have been created by some massive flooding and erosions. In South Africa, and see, in South Africa there is a fossil, there's a place with buried fossils of about 800 billion species of animals. I mean, animals don't die like that. They must have been transported there, and they all died. They were all buried rapidly there, and some of their remains were preserved in sedimentary rocks. That's what is called a fossil. They were not there for billions of years or millions of years. It happened recently, about 4,000 years ago. That is more like science to me. But when the origins have been attacked, when they are saying that I'm a Christian and I believe in evolution, but I don't believe that God created man or created the earth in 6 days, then what do you believe? Then very soon you say, well, I don't believe that Christ died literally. Maybe it's figurative. And we should be quick to defend this thing, because that was exactly what Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They didn't even say Christ did not rise again. They said there is no resurrection from the dead. Let me show you some other people that have said so. Look at 2 Timothy. As a Christian, you should not be averse to true science, because true science does not contradict scriptures. But never interpret life in the light of science, because science does not know everything, and science cannot know everything, because science was not always there. It wasn't there from the beginning, and science cannot test what it cannot observe. But what we see in nature is that there is design. If you look at yourselves. Somebody said you are paid by accident. See, the implication of this is not just, they said there is no purpose to anything. That means there is no purpose to life. Because God had a reason for making man. If we are paid by accident, that means our existence is all accidental. And it has a lot of moral implications. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about what to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Philosophies. See, you are on a journey to know the truth. The truth is right here. The truth you heard, you have preached, you love that truth, so you are on a journey. It's a journey of no return. And most, when people are back, when they see the truth and we leave it and go on a journey for another truth, you never find it. In verse 15, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Let me read the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians 15 again. Brother, if I want to say something, I'm going to close in 10 minutes. Look carefully at what Paul is saying. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. We are saved by the gospel. You are saved because you believe in the gospel. It says, for if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, if you are not doubting that God raised him from the dead, then you are actually doubting your salvation without even knowing it. And that is what Paul is saying, that did you believe in vain? Paul is saying, what exactly did you believe? You know, it's funny. Somebody is saying, maybe some of these things in the Bible are actually, you see, we Christians, we've been so rigid. We've been so dogmatic. See, the Bible does not say for as many as, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish. Those who are saved and those who believe. Not those who say we need to find proof to believe. That's exactly what Thomas said. He said, well, you say you've seen him. I will not believe until I've seen him. Not that I have seen him, to prove that he's not a ghost, I'm going to reach out into his finger and see that hole was there, because he saw them put a nail through that finger. So he said, until I see it, for him wasn't enough that he was told that he was risen. And Jesus appeared and told him, Simon, come and touch me, come and reach out, and don't be unbelieving but believing. And when he saw that, he believed. Said, my Lord and my God. And he said, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen but have believed. Some people have the benefit of seeing. Not everybody does. Some people have the benefit of seeing before believing. Not everybody does. Because he gave enough proof. He gave enough proof, enough evidence that he rose from the dead. It wasn't done in a shady corner. That was what Paul told Agrippa. He said, why do you think it is impossible that God should raise the dead? He said, these things were not done shoddily. They were not done in the corner. They were seen. Look at what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, I believe at verse 3. To you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now that explains Christmas, doesn't it? Hallelujah. That he died. That explains the fact that God had to become a man. Because God cannot die, a man had to die. And if you go on and read, we'll still get there, that since by man came death, by man also must come the resurrection from the dead. So he died according to the scriptures. Again, look at Paul. Paul is not alluding to human weaknesses. He alluded to that secondarily. He said, according to the scriptures, I must believe scriptures. When he says scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament. According to what was written, it happened. And he rose again the third day, according to scriptures. Now, he now talked about what people saw. And he was seen by Peter and by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. 500. Of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some are falling asleep. In other words, he said, well, some of them are still living witnesses. Go and confirm from them whether they saw him or not. And I was seen by James and by all the apostles. And of course, Paul said, I saw him too, because it happened on his way to Damascus. Look at Acts chapter 1. You see, it is good for you to know that the reason why you believe you are a Christian is because you believe that he was raised from the dead. If I ask you, why do you believe he was raised from the dead? What will you tell me? Say, that's what we are taught now. Because that's what happens to people. Now, someone now comes with a pseudo evidence and says, well, it's not possible. It's not known to that experience. It's not known to science. And not only that, you start seeing attacks and, you know, doubts being raised from all angles. It's not possible for a 500-year-old man to build an ark with wood. He can't float on water now. See, all the animals, they are putting, where was he putting them? How was he feeding them? See, that's true. I never thought of that. You should think of it. You should think of it. Because that is what the Bible claims. That he took a male and a female of every animal and he put them in the ark. As far as, well, that is not possible. See, So, well, maybe it's symbolic. That's the beginning. Look at Acts chapter 1. If you doubt the creation, you should doubt the recreation. If you doubt the creation, you should doubt the resurrection. And if you doubt the creation, you should actually doubt the God of the Bible. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. The former account. I'm used to the old KJV. The former account I made of Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. That was the ascension. Not the resurrection, the ascension, the final ascension. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It wasn't that he told them, I've gone, you just had a voice, I've risen, they saw him for 40 days before he finally ascended. They saw him with their eyes. And these people, they went through that, we saw him, and they showed proof with signs and wonders that Christ was risen from the dead. And that is why you and I have faith in that, believing that one day also we shall rise from the dead. Now, some people are saying that there is nothing like a resurrection from the dead. Not a direct attack on Christ. It was an indirect attack. But they need to figure out the rest. And Paul began to figure it out for them. That if indeed we are not going to rise from the dead, then let people know that Christ did not rise from the dead. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we have no faith. And then it means that we that we are pre-direct from the dead, we are liars and false witnesses. Because we are saying that he rose from the dead, if he did not rise from the dead. And for all that died in Christ, that were saying, how bad they let you, I'm a padengo. Leti, odebo. I've always... Sorry, I've been confused over the years, but I wonder, is it eight? Let's say Jesus will be eight. Which? Okay, that, are you sure? Because well, it sounds a bit, idolatry, old or shoe river or something. Now, that means people who are gone, and we hope to see one day, they are all gone. And that's exactly what is being put today by the new religion called, secular humanism. That there is nothing spiritual. That everything can be explained physically and naturally. That we are all matter. We are no different from monkeys. That is why they are fighting for animal rights. They say don't eat fish. Don't wear fur. So they say, I'm not going to wear fur. And here celebrities say, I don't eat. I'm a vegetarian. All these things, they are religion. We think it's sophistication. I'm not a vegetarian. In support of PETA, PETA, the animal rights folks. Hallelujah. Say, don't kill those. God said, let's have dominion on them. Say, rabbit in the US by the house, we can't kill it. What a shame. And Nigerians that hit antelopes by mistake. They say, we won't throw it away. They will put in the boots. Go and slaughter in there and clean the blood, because it's a crime, like you've murdered a human being. Clean the blood and dispose of the bones little by little. After, because if you do it all at once, they will trace it and say, you are guilty. Why? All of the adult, now when you begin to see that we are seeing animals have rights just like you have rights. We are no different from them. You are a product of a revolution. Tomorrow they can be more evolved and intelligent than you are. So why are you treating them that way? That is the spirit that has pervaded the world. And we fall into these traps over and over again without even knowing. Paul is saying this, that if Christ be not risen, then we are wasting our time. We have no hope. There is no hope. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. I'm going to close right now. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead, or of the dead rather? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If what you believe in has no basis, your faith is empty. That means you are deceiving yourself. Verse 15, yes. And we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. That's the truth. Then also, those who are falling asleep in Christ have perished. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all your aspirations, all your joy, all your dreams are only limited to this life, after this life you are gone like a chicken. Paul says, we are of all men. Because, see, we'll be the most miserable because we are still hoping for, they have, you see, blessed are those that have no, that common saying by Bola Ige. Blessed are those that have no expectation, for they shall not be disappointed. If the atheist dies and says, well, I'm from matter, I've gone back to matter, there is no resurrection. The guy is, and if that's the case, so he's a better man than those others are saying that we will rise again when he comes, the soon coming king, and there's no soon coming king. Say, we are all men most miserable. But thank God that is not the case. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We believe that Jesus Christ, of the seed of God according to the flesh, was born of the Virgin Mary. We believe that by the Spirit of God he lived, and he died according to the scriptures, and that he was raised again. We believe that Jesus Christ is coming back for his own. We believe. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I believe. I believe that Christ died and he rose again for our sins. That he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he saved me from my sins. And I believe that I'm going also to enjoy the resurrection like he did. That is why I'm a Christian. It's a choice to believe. It's a choice not to believe. It's a choice to believe. It's a choice to doubt. But what makes us Christians is our faith in Jesus Christ, the God who became man, so that man can also enjoy the nature of God. Christ came as a first fruit, and he has risen from the dead to die no more. And we believe also that those who are after him shall also conquer death by resurrection. Father, we bless your name. Lift your hands and worship him. Oh, if you believe in God, lift your hands and worship him for the salvation of your souls.